everybody, and welcome to the fifth edition of Press X for the Culture. This week, we're talking about the biggest elephant in the room in gaming, the Mortal Kombat 11 Jax ending.
Hey.
But before we get into that, I'm your host, your heavyweight champion from Wish-A-Nigga-Wood, California, a.k.a. the janitor because I'll be watching niggas, a.k.a. blow that M'Baku out from the Jabari tribe, Marcus Ellison.
This is DJ, a.k.a. Wakanda forever, a.k.a. did you know president, I guess ex-president? No, fuck president. That. President in my heart for always, Barack Obama was the first president to brew beer in the White House.
Really?
The very first.
Actually, I think there was actually a whole entire video he made of his staff brewing beer.
Oh, really?
Brew.
Yeah. I missed that. That's awesome.
I'm kind of shocked by that.
Ain't no one give him shit about it, too. Because he wished they would.
Exactly.
And I am Douglas, a.k.a. son of Douglas of Baltimore.
And now, how do you guys want to tackle this?
I think we should just go around table, quickly just give our little history of Mortal Kombat, favorite character, and then we can actually get into
the brass tacks.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I have long been documented saying that I am not a fan of Mortal Kombat. growing up, there was two big fighting games, really. Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat. And I was a bit more on the Street Fighter side. I didn't really play much of either. I didn't really start getting super into fighting games until Tekken, to be honest.
Okay. Yeah.
But Mortal Kombat was always kind of like not really for me because the way that it played was very basic.
Yeah.
And the crux of the game was the violence. And I liked the Mortal Kombat movies.
Yeah.
I thought they were a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But that was really as far as I went with my love for the game.
Gotcha.
If I had a favorite character, it was either Johnny Cage or Liu Kang. That was really it.
Really?
Yeah.
None of the ninjas, huh?
Nah.
All right. So my history with Mortal Kombat has been, I was into Mortal Kombat up until like Mortal Kombat 3.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I switched over to Tekken.
Mm-hmm.
But like, yeah, I have memories of playing in succession of like jumping from like Street Fighter to like Samurai Showdown to Mortal Kombat.
Yep.
And it's just like, the Mortal Kombat system was always just like, why is this game built like this? But
punch, 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 uppercut.
Toasty! Yeah. But like the fatalities was just, that's where it was at, man. So like coming to Mortal Kombat 11, it was just like, all right, this is interesting. Like, I have been documented as not being a fan of their current fighting system because I think it's too archaic.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, man. Something is really pulling me about this game.
Yeah.
It's really doing it.
Yeah, I haven't had much of a history of Mortal Kombat. Like, the last Mortal Kombat game that I actually personally owned and played was the from the PS1 generation.
Yeah.
Mortal Kombat Mythology Sub-Zero.
Yeah.
Wow, man. What,
I remember
a
that
throwback.
Shit. I completely forgot about that.
That
wow.
Was,
oh.
An irony is that if I kept this game, especially if I kept it brand new, it would currently be up for sale for about $250 on eBay.
Wow.
So, yeah. Otherwise, like, I haven't been as into it. I kind of fell out of the fighting game genre. I mean, I play often on with the Injustice series, but Mortal Kombat has been more like, I watch other people play.
Right.
Yeah.
I have fun with that.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, my favorite character was Sub-Zero. So then Mortal Kombat Mythologies was like
your thing.
My jam. I was like, they made a game just about Sub-Zero?
There's two people watching. You can buy this game. You know, it's also shipped for free from Port Orange, Florida. You want to hit this?
I don't even want to do that to myself. I already know that it's not going to be great. All right. So as Marcus said at the top of the cast, there was a particular ending in this game that we will say is not a canonical ending.
It's not.
No.
It is purely an ending for a character, Jax. If he had won this whole thing and got time powers, what he would have done with the time powers.
Right.
How would you reach this ending?
So, okay. So the actual story, you can go on YouTube and it's 3 hours.
Right.
It is a long thing.
But
the story ends with spoilers with,
well, actually, but this is part of the arcade ending.
This is part of the arcade
ending. So it's not the 3.5 one. Jack's real ending in a crazy is like 90 seconds.
Yeah, like in the actual story, the ending of the game is, I'm going to call him Lou Raiden. because it is a fusion between Liu Kang and Raiden.
Of course.
They beat the final, like, time boss person, and they're basically, they rewind time back to, like, just after the Big Bang, and Liu Kang is now, like, a god. He replaces Raiden's god abilities, whatever.
Right.
And they basically have to reshape history.
Uh-huh.
And it's just like, oh, all right, cool. And we just leave him there. So, if you were to play the arcade version of Mortal Kombat 11, once you get to the end of the arcade version, you see whoever's character is ending.
Right.
Jack's ending. Once he wins, he gets the time powers.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that he does is he goes back in time and stops the transatlantic slave trade. Mind you, we're all black in here.
Yep.
I believe we can all agree that that's a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To say the least.
Yeah.
A lot of people, I mean, you know.
Yeah. You know, like that.
Interesting history.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Cool. Apparently, for some other people, it was kind of a waste of use of time powers and such.
Anyway, remember, this is only 90 seconds, y'all. Just 90 seconds.
Yeah.
You can go, you know, drink some water, come back. You really didn't want to see this.
Yeah. And, you know, it's actually kind of cool because in the telling of him using the powers, he admits that, like, you know,
it didn't work out the way that he was hoping at first.
It didn't work the first time, and he wanted to make sure that he kept his wife and daughter with him,
right,
in whatever time that, like, is current time.
Yeah.
So he had to do it a couple times, and eventually he knocked out the park, and they even added, like, a baseball, like, hit us out.
I know, right?
Sell it. And I was like, all right, that's definitely more.
I want to MLB pay them. Like, we need viewers, y'all. Maybe add a little baseball here and make people watch the games, y'all.
So, with that being said,
so he's a Jackie Robinson of Mortal Kombat.
No, he's the T'Challa of Mortal Kombat. Because the final image of the ending was almost like a Wakanda-like black utopia of sorts.
Yep.
But bring it back. Isn't the dude who played T'Challa was also the dude?
Yes,
he also played Jackie.
Chadwick Boseman. We've made this joke before. His job is to play important black people. He also played Thurgood Marshall.
Oh, damn. Who's next for him?
Barack Obama, probably.
You're right. So this happens. You know, bravo to Ed Boon and NetherRealms for doing something like this, because we really haven't had. We really hadn't had anything like this really ever.
And I mean, when you look at the black fighting game characters, usually they're not that in tune with at least American black fighting characters are usually kind of like
one dimension.
Black in name only.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Whereas it's never really something that they have to tackle.
Right. They're literally a character.
So this is kind of like a first for like an American black character like Jax to be like, I'm going to use this ultimate power that I have to address something. That's a problem that I've noticed.
Right. And
there's
a quote that he says. He's like, you know, this is during the ending. I've been lucky. My family and I have lived the American dream.
Mm-hmm.
But most people who look like me haven't had that chance.
Exactly.
I owe it to them to put things right.
Right.
I'm not waiting centuries for people to get woke. Yes, he says woke. When I got the power to speed things
which
up.
Which probably triggered half of the internet.
Bruh, there was people that were complaining. Justice, oh, he said woke. What the? So what? He's a grown-ass man. He's not a high schooler. He doesn't know the latest slang.
Like, right.
A lot of people use the term woke. Bernie Sanders uses the term woke, y'all.
Right. You better vote for something. But, so, of course, the vocal minority on the internet had their balls in a vice grip.
Yeah.
And they got really upset.
They're tidy whities in a twist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they started venting about how this is a poor use
gnashing of teeth.
And one of the things that I've seen on the internet is one, the crowd of people who are consistently decrying social justice movements in their media. Mm-hmm. Usually it's white people who are decrying this sort of thing. And this idea that agendas like this are being shoved down their throats.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, one, and I said this on my Instagram a little bit ago, honestly, and it's going to be kind of a hot take, I kind of wish a lot of those people would just admit that the reason that they don't like this sort of stuff is because white people have had 99% of the pie for a long time,
yep,
and they want to keep it that way because, yep, it's a status quo.
Yep.
I wish that you would just keep it 100 and just say, that's what the problem is.
Yeah.
Don't beat around the bush.
Yeah.
We know why you're mad.
Hey, if you could eat cheeseburgers every day and it doesn't affect your health, you're going to continue eating those cheeseburgers.
Right.
But then when someone's like, nah,
eat some broccoli,
you're going to have some broccoli. They're like, fuck, what do you mean I'm going to have some broccoli?
Right.
I want the cheeseburgers that I've been having before.
Right.
Give me my cheeseburgers.
Keep it 100 and tell us that's why you're mad. Because now with these movements that people are trying to get, not even trying to take your piece of the pie, by the way, we just want our own piece of the pie. But that's messing up your status quo, and you don't know how to handle it.
And yes, I just compare cheeseburgers to white power.
But, you know, I trying to put myself on the other side. It seemed to me that there is some. I'm a lawyer. I'm supposed to think both sides, yeah, right? And it seemed to come across as that, you know, I'm playing this game. It's this fantasy game. I don't want any politics involved in this game. To me, a lot of times, that's kind of cool. I don't want to see politics that I disagree with in this game. And honestly, it's not necessarily a political statement. It's more of a historical statement.
Right.
He's trying to alter a past. It, like I say, this is a very brief thing. It's a thing of which I think, you know, has affected all countries of this continent in some way, shape, or form. Jax doesn't even tell you what parts of ever how he does. He just says that, you know, it took me a while to change it. And for something that should be so simple, I don't quite understand why would make somebody get off of their couch to go and write a tweet about it or write a post about it or make a video of it when in fact, I mean, it's like, it's not, like there's more criticism out there than the length of the actual ending.
Exactly. And the thing is, what is wrong with slavery ending?
I'll tell you what's wrong with slavery ending. Here is a comment that a person wrote actually to Polygon. Preventing slavery in America sounds like a good idea, except you'd undo the founding of modern America, including the lives of every black American. They'd vanish into a Thanos snap. I had to do it.
If only Thanos did that in right. Infinity Wars.
Undo the Western civil rights movement and everything that made his own life. He'd erase himself.
Boy, if you don't get...
Someone responded to this.
Wait, before we go, so it sounds that like slavery made black people a better people because it made them able to fight for civil rights and liberties for all. It just took like 200 years and still got lingering.
Slavery essentially put us in a hyperbolic time chamber and made us stronger on the other end.
Yes.
Well, you know,
because we're Saiyans.
It gave us full employment. It gave us Jesus. I mean, you know, slavery, you know,
it gave
we built the White House and Capitol building.
It gave all these white kids that love sicko mode hip hop.
Yeah. Yeah. it gave us respect.
It does.
Respect.
A hard day's work is a hard day's of labor.
Yep. And someone responded with, this is the absolute dumbest, most buck wild take in response of how dope Jax MK11 ending is. Trying to hide one's blatant racism under Peterson-like wordplay just doesn't work. Yes.
And the thing is, like, while yes, ending slavery means that it essentially changes black people's experience in America. But that is also a good thing, because then we would not have to deal with Jim Crow laws. They wouldn't have to deal with the even now
health disparities and property disparities,
getting shoved into housing projects and then getting accused of black on black violence all the time.
Yeah.
Getting even now all these microaggressions and different types of racism that we experience now. So I mean, honestly,
you probably wouldn't even have a civil war.
Exactly.
Because the primary cause of civil war, ladies and gentlemen, was slavery. That literally was what their statements was like, we want to enslave people. We want to spread the enslavement of people.
And don't get me wrong, while I am glad and proud to be a black man living in America and fighting for equality and all that stuff, if I had the opportunity to not have to deal with all this shit, you best believe I would.
And, you know, and depending upon how, I mean, Jax, there's no real specifics. He just kind of, like, it is strongly hinted that he entered the transatlantic slave trade. But who knows? Jax went 2, 3, 4 times doing this thing. He could have also just ended slavery in Americas in general, because, you know, the first enslaved person to go to Africa was on Christopher Columbus's first voyage to Hispaniola, who, just let you know, fun fact, he left that guy there when Columbus set sail for Spain. Like, you know that. So, and also it's true. not only had enslavement in the very first instance, you know, you also had enslavement of the native peoples who was here. And so if you were able to reverse that, you would have a dramatically different scenario of what the world will look like, because you wouldn't have North America or North or South, or South America look the way it is. You have a very different look in terms of continent. Even look at the continent of Africa. The African peoples, very few were really involved in terms of the carving out of their country.
Right.
The vast majority of the continent was carved out and drawn out by the European powers. And so that's why you have, for some people may argue, that's why you have a lot of tension among different countries, because these people are placed together in states that is not their
conducive to,
it is not how their communities form prior to the advent of the age of imperialism. So you would have, you know, Nigeria would be a very different place. Maybe you had three different states instead of just one.
Right.
It would be a very different continent.
And it's not to say that it's not like Jax wiped out white people to get to this point either. Like, he just stopped a really bad thing from happening.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, if there was no slavery, not saying that there wouldn't be tensions because human nature, but if there was no slavery, there wouldn't be this hundreds of years, by the way, in case you all forgot, slavery didn't happen over a 10-year period of time. It was hundreds of years.
Yeah.
But there wouldn't be this 100-year monkey on our back. That it's like
that description, by the
sorry,
way.
Sorry. That makes it harder to integrate now.
Yeah.
That makes it harder for race relations to go over smoothly because there is this elephant in the room.
Can you imagine all the energy that was wasted in being racist? Now you could put that energy into, like,
I don't know, something productive.
Like having wind turbines that actually cause cancer.
Hey there, enjoying the episode? Want to hear more? Then we're going to need your help. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our show. And if you have subscribed, great. Spread the word. Tell everybody. To follow us on social media, check us out on Facebook and Instagram at PressX2Start, Twitter at PressX2S, and YouTube now at PressX2StartTV. And if you've done all of this already, well done.
Well, I put it this way then. If you could put your in the shoes of a game developer and you want to talk about a subject that is as serious as about slavery, or at least mention it, like how should you treat this phenomenon, this historical phenomenon? How would you treat that in a game?
Without kid gloves, I think that one of the best depictions of racism in a video game that I've seen is Mafia 3. They did not skimp around the idea that this was a reality that they had to deal with. And you are playing a person of color, and he's going to bump up against not just like far right racists, like, you know, straight up KKK, which you do run into in the game. And they do not skirt around that. But there was also racism in terms of him being a military man and having to deal with that. I think that the best way to depict that sort of thing in a video game, if you're going to tackle it, is to not shy away from it. It's kind of like how in Germany, they acknowledge the horrors of their past to inform their future. It's like, we are going to teach our kids, we did horrible things. Don't be like that.
Yeah. And they also make the swastika illegal.
Illegal. But in America, for some reason, we can't seem to do that. We can't hold ourselves accountable. So I'm saying that, in my answer at least, the best way to depict that in gaming or media, period, is to not shy away from the realities of it.
What would you do?
Totally agree. I mean, in terms of how you create a compelling game that also deals with slavery, I agree with what Marcus says. You don't have any kiddie gloves around it, but you make the main character. This might be a hot take. You made the main character white and be adamantly against this. And throughout the entire game,
Arthur Morgan.
Yeah. But more so. I feel like in Red Dead, like, you get a touch of slavery, but it's not really ever really there.
Right.
Actually, you know what?
There's that one mission with the guy who, there was a side mission in the third chapter. So you meet him in Rhodes. And he's always complaining about how he's missing his a gun, a pocket watch, and a journal.
Yeah, he was a plantation owner.
No, he was a plantation owner. He was a slave.
He was trading.
Slave catcher.
Yeah, he
caught him.
Yeah. Shot the guy square in the face.
Yeah, but, and you get honor for that, too.
Yeah, I did. Oh, yeah, I did.
I shot him in the face, and his body fell into the campfire.
No. I didn't shoot him. I used the axe.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. That's what it was. I used a throwing axe. I, aimed it right at his head. I made sure I didn't miss. Definitely didn't miss. But, yeah, okay. I take it back. Don't make the main character white. I mean, that's too easy.
I made the main character. You
made the main character black.
You want to play a Tubman game?
The main character is basically just, of course, adamantly against this and is literally just bringing up points as to why this is bad. Like, there's no good that comes from this.
Yeah. My thing is like, because what I was going to say to you.
Naughty Dog make it.
Right. What I was going to say to you is like.
And don't make it multiplayer?
No more.
That's a nice single player.
No.
Well, if you make the multiplayer, people are clearly going to play it forever. So it might work.
I was going to say that, like, if you make the main character white, you basically, even if he's a well-learned character, you run into the white savior thing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's my fault. That's absolutely true.
My thing with this character, I think the best way to make a game like this that people can gravitate to that aren't just black is make him a human being. Like, don't make him all the ideal. Like, yes, that's a good ideal to get behind, is equality and fighting against oppression, but make him somebody that has other desires, that has flaws.
Right.
Make him a human being that you can see, that's not just a black power fist caricature.
Right. Don't make him a caricature.
Exactly. Make him a human being, because at the end of the day, people can talk all they want about, like, oh, social justice, all this stuff. People are drawn to characters who are relatable,
conflicted,
interesting.
Yeah.
So would you like to play a game like a Django Unchained video game where you could be the hero? Because Django is like, he's 100, like, oh man, and you get to play a role of somebody who is trying to go against the system, who is a hero, who has very definable belief structure. I'm not sure how you may categorize him as being a conflicted character, but if you're somebody who wants to be the hero in a very brutal but exciting fashion, that's one take to look at it.
Right. I think it'd be interesting to play a black character who...
But you could be Harriet Tubman. Carry your side piece.
I keep that thing on.
Right. No, like you could hit it, not necessarily Black Klansman exactly, but like, one of the struggles in Black Klansman was he is a man of the law who is proud to be a man of the law, but he's also a black man during the Jim Crow era.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that'd be an interesting thing to explore, that kind of duality of, I am black and my people are being oppressed, but I am also a man who believes in justice and believes in not doing things the street way.
Yeah.
And you could have that be a thing that you can, because that could be something that could be explored and could educate people on, it's not, as pun intended, just so black and white. There is gray there, you know?
So I guess just to bring it up, just to let the listener that, yes, we do understand that, yeah, slavery also happened in other cultures as well.
Of course.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yes. And because one of the comments that someone said was, oh, why is he just solving black slavery? What about the other and people that were enslaved? Because
it was a 90-second ending.
Yeah, exactly. And more specifically, he is a African-American man that has dealt with this stuff through his life. So, of course, that's going to be the first thing he jumps to.
Exactly. Just like anybody, like, unless you're the most altruistic person possible, which, more power to you, that's wonderful.
Three or four times.
Right.
Maybe you did.
Exactly. That's another thing. No one said, he never said that he didn't do that.
Maybe he,
it's a 90-second ending.
And if you end the transatlantic slave trade, remember, two-thirds of Africans who came across to the transatlantic slave went to, you know, South and Central America, like Brazil. So by ending that, you're able to cut through a lot of the spread of,
and that's the thing, slavery, like
Caribbean, North America, South America. Yeah.
Whether you want it or not, you're going to have blinders as a person, and you're going to see the struggles that you have first a lot of the time. So in order to maybe go out and do other things, you got to deal with one thing first. He wanted to deal with the transatlantic slave trade. Then maybe he can go and, you know, free Native Americans. And, you know, like, then he could possibly do that. But we don't know because 90-second ending.
Right, right. They just made it a really quick and concise thing that this character wanted to do.
Right.
Wanted to have a good life for him, his wife, and his daughter, and his people.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
How many times do we see something like this happen, but the main character is not black? Mm-hmm. The main character is like an alien.
And to, like, ask that question, for a white person to ask that question, it's a little frustrating because, like, we, like DJ said, are aware that there were other slaves and there are other disenfranchised groups out there. But unfortunately, because of just the way that this country was built predominantly, the main narrative of America is black versus white.
Right.
Which is also horrible because Native Americans, you know, don't even get talked about as much as they should.
Yeah.
You know, because they still haven't recovered from what was done to them.
Yeah.
But that's another story for another time.
And you can still blame it on slavery.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Is slavery dramatically altered how this country was formed? And
it's basically that mindset of like, oh, you're an inferior people.
Yeah.
And this is how they're right to conquer you.
Exactly. Yeah,
dude, that's the whole part. Like, Manifest Destiny is usually taught as the, you know, folks from the East Coast kind of spread the country over to the West Coast. Mm-hmm. But the mindset behind that is as American as any type of explorers who came across it. It's like, we want to spread our wealth, we want to spread our influence, and you uncivilized savage beasts, you know, we are here to give you the better life because you don't know what you're doing with this land.
That
we know
it. Right, is right. As American as fucking apple pie, bro. Like, it's
me from England.
Like, the sad, and I think people misconstrue, like, slavery was just people getting whipped and tilling the crops. No, right. Bro, like, that was a big part of it, but there was also just, like, people were sexually assaulted. Mm-hmm. People were, like, and even going outside of the physical aspects of it, there was a mindset.
Yeah.
There was so much post-traumatic stress and mental destruction and emotional destruction that happened during that time that to this day people are still dealing with.
To this day! To this day!
Yeah, yeah.
I just finished, I like, reading early American history. And I just finished a book called Year of Meteors. It looked like the election of 1860. And in this book, if you want to buy another Douglas R. Eagerton, I like to support other Douglases in the world.
And only Douglases.
But there are only so few of us. So one of the things that he brings about in his book about is how, even though the institution of slavery was something that only very few could really partake in because enslaving people is an expensive trade, individuals are expensive in investment, and particularly became dominant in terms of the South, the region versus the North. When it came to how Southerners were trying to sell secession, they had to sell in such a way because the majority of the people couldn't afford. Like, they were not plantation owned. That's the rich. So what they would try to do is to try to say, hey, you know, you poor white farmers, you know, we got to have slaves because if you really want to be brutal about it, they say it keeps black men away from your daughters.
Yeah.
You know, at least you're not black because, you know, these people are beneath you. You know, here you still have a great standing. Those folks in the North, the radical Republicans, the black Republicans led by Lincoln, they want to put you on equal footing with this black man. We can't have that.
It's so, pushing black people as animals.
Correct. Exactly. Yeah. And it's a way to even subjugate other people because they're trying to say, you know, you poor whites, we don't want to help you. We just want your body and money just as well as the black people, just in a different fashion. They want you to be subservient because it's still, you know, you're the one that buy our goods by our black labor. That's one of the key points, is that if you take away slavery, you're also trying to bring up more equality even among white people because you don't have this intergroup fighting.
And once again, like I said, we're not trying to take y'all's pie. We just want a piece. Like, we're not trying to take all the pie. We're not trying to take your individual piece. We just want a piece. Just like Latin Americans want a piece. Just like Native Americans want a piece. Asian Americans, you know, the LGBTQT plus. Sorry.
Let's let you know, I did audibly roll my eyes.
He did. But like,
that's more different. That's more a different conversation.
You know, that's the thing. That's really it. That's the long and short of it. It's not that hard to understand. It's just that you don't want to understand it.
Or if more people are able to make the pie and have the pie, you can have a bigger pie.
Yep, right. Yep. More people absolutely. Have pie.
And I think
or cake if you're a cake person. Yeah. Which you're wrong.
But I think that's where it gets weird, because people don't understand that if everyone's on equal footing, then there is more businesses. There's more opportunities to make money. There's mm-hmm. more opportunities to sell your product to more people.
Everybody eats.
Yeah. All right. Well, I just want to end this off by also describing some other tweets that people put out in response to Jack's MK11 ending.
Okay, here we go.
So I'm going to turn my monitor around so Marcus can see it and we can all laugh together. I will describe what's going on here. And as we can all see, it is a bunch of Dave Chappelle images posting. And
from
like,
the Player Haters
yes.
skit. So good.
That's so awesome.
You know, I don't always love it, but sometimes I love Twitter.
Yeah, right. They come through sometimes. They come through.
But last thing I want to say as we close this out is we here are aware that this is still a vocal minority. They're loud about it, which makes them very noticeable. But yeah. we do know that not every white person thinks like this.
Absolutely.
What we do want to say, though, is for you white people who don't think like this, check your boys.
That's true.
And to keep listening, because we definitely appreciate you.
Uh-huh.
Hey, you know what you can do? Send them this cast.
Yeah.
Yes.
And wash their face. It's only 30 minutes. Yeah,
exactly.
It's only 30 minutes. Wash it with them. See how they react. And if at any point in time...
And get them to subscribe.
Yeah, hopefully. Depending on how they take it.
Hey, mm-hmm. We take all kind of viewers. People who love us, people who hate us. As long as you subscribe, we
you know, right? Appreciate you. Know you. What? You're right. Hey, subscribe. Even if you hate us, subscribe.
Exactly. Subscribe. Get them numbers up.
One day you might not hate us.
Hate listening? I like that.
Right. All right. Well, this has been another episode of Press X for the Culture. Almost messed it up. But I caught myself.
Good for you.
I'm proud of you.
We hope you enjoy this episode as much as we enjoyed making it. Don't forget to rate and review us on your favorite podcasting app. Every little bit helps. Also, don't forget to subscribe. Because as we said, subscribe.
We need that.
We do.
For your friends and your haters.
If you missed any of this, you can find all the details and more on our website at pressx2start.com. Check it out. The site's new. It has that nice little fresh car smell. Just get real close to your monitor and sniff it. Guarantee you won't be disappointed. Until next time.
Uno out.
A toute la.